Welcome again. My name is James Bradley. I'm the pastor here at First Free Will Baptist Church in Morehead City. I want to say thank you and welcome. As we get ready to get into God's Word, I just really want to take a minute and introduce this topic. Today I'm talking about invited and welcomed, and that is to God's table. That is to His family. Here at First Free Will Baptist Church, we want you to be a part of not only our video services, but also on that very special day when we're welcomed back into our church once this coronavirus is gone and the fear of it spreading is no longer a capital moment anymore. So we want to take a moment and invite you. As God has invited you into His family, so we want to invite you into ours. Thank you so much for joining us. So let's jump right into the text. We're going to be in Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 24. Verse 12 states this, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and the recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed to the resurrection of the just." Now, I want to stop right there, and this is not part of my message today, but I felt like it was need to mention this. When the Bible tells us to be a blessing, we're supposed to generally be blessings to everybody we come apart, but especially those who cannot pay back that blessing. We are called to be people who give to those that are in need, give to those that are hurt, give to those that are lonely, give to those who are destitute, if you will. He says the blind, the lame, the maimed, and the poor. Those are the people, he says, I want you to be specifically minded to do, because that is what God's character is. Because God is perfect, and if he only invited perfect people, well, he'd be alone. His whole idea of being a blessing to others is paramount to us as Christians. He gives us the shining example of what it means to be a servant and to bless those who are less fortunate than we are. Continuing on in verse 15, he tells us, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him and heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat the bread of the kingdom of God. And he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many. And he set his servants at supper time, and say to them that were bidden, Come, and all things are now ready. And they all were one consent, began to make excuse. And the first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came, and he showed the Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto its servants, Go out quickly unto the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." This text here teaches us several things, three of which I'm going to bring forth for us to study and to chew on and really gain a blessing out of this. For the first point of this video, I would like us to talk about God's open invitation. There was a people who gave excuses, there were people who denied, and then there was people who were compelled to come in for whatever reason it may be, whether they be maimed or halt or blind. It was those people that were in need who were welcomed in. And I want us to talk about where we fit into that scenario. The second thing I want us to talk about is the people's idle excuses. Now, and I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I do know that this text revolves around the excuses of those people. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I want us to see that excuses keep us from the blessings of God. And so I don't want us to fight the Holy Spirit, and I don't want us to fight the invitations. And especially when the church doors start opening up, I do not want us to excuse the fact that we are being welcomed into such a great a company of people, not just at this church, but all across America. When the doors finally open, you have an open invite to our services. The last thing I want to talk about is God's just and sovereign response to people who make excuses. I want us to see how God does a work in people's lives. The last thing I want us to cover in this video is God's sovereign and just response to the excuses that were made. The first point in my sermon today is God's open invitation. Look with me back at verse 15 to verse 17. Verse 15 says, "Which one of those who sat at dinner with him heard this, he said unto him, Blessed is the man, blessed is he who shall eat of the bread in the kingdom of God." This was a pharisaical statement, and much less it canceled. It tried to divert God's attention back to the Pharisees that were present, and he was saying, oh, that we would be that kingdom, we would be the ones. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself with this one, because I have preached on this before, just last week. But the Pharisees had this understanding that just because they were Pharisees, just because they were the self-righteous appointed people, that they were deserving of heaven, whether it be their heritage or whether it be their false insecurity of self-righteousness, no matter what it was, they thought that God had to let them into heaven. We'll quote MacArthur in saying that any hope in heaven without Christ is a false hope. You have to accept him and his teachings. You have to accept the Son if we want to have salvation. Another aspect of what the Pharisees did here was that they couldn't play ignorant with what Jesus was about to teach. The Pharisees started the topic about dining with God, and blessed are those who are going to be eating with him. So they opened up this topic, and as Christ is about to teach them this, they couldn't play ignorant. They had an understanding about what Jesus was about to clarify. In verse 16, I want us to see something, and that was this. He says, in verse 16, "Then he said unto him, A man prepared a banquet and invited many." This man, of course, is going to be a Christophany. It's going to be God himself. It's going to be a persona, if you will, of the Father. And as he prepared this banquet, he's invited many people. And that gives his abundance, his wealth. He had the ability to invite so many people to this banquet. On the latter end of a banquet, I want us to see something that we kind of take for granted inside of the context of our present day. See, in biblical times, they didn't have refrigerators, and they didn't have frozen foods, and they didn't have food that lasted forever. So to prepare a banquet required a lot more preparation. So the food, the service, everything that was prepared about this banquet took time to prepare. It wasn't instantaneous, and it couldn't be saved for a while. These invitations went out long prior to the day of the party. Now, the Bible doesn't give clarity to how long it was between the invite and the actual day of the invitation. We do know that it was some time based upon the amount of people that were going to be present. The amount of bread and vegetables and meat at the banquet required a long time to harvest and to prep and to get ready for so many people. If I were to take a minute and to apply this today, I want us to see something. We've taken a break from church for a little while. For health reasons, for national reasons, for legal reasons, we have kept our distance from one another. But there's going to come a time where we have been prepped and ready for this coming again. When the doors reopen and God's people come together to praise, to worship, to shout, to rejoice, and fellowship together. And God's Spirit's going to descend upon this nation in a great way. That preparation is taking time, and that preparation is beginning now. I want us to have that invitation brought out to you. So if you've watched this video, you're more than welcome to come and join us. Go and join your local churches. There's going to be a great revival among Christians in this nation when we can see the good and we can see the fellowship that's going to happen. I encourage you that you make known the preparation that God is doing in your churches even to this day. God is doing great things, and I want you to be part of it. This is an open invitation to be a part of our services as well as the blessings of God that will come when we finally get to fellowship one with another again. Before we get into our second point, I want to talk about this preparedness that happens right in verse 17. Read it with me. It says, "And sent his servant a supper at supper time to say unto those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now prepared." I mentioned prior that there is some distance, some time between in the initial invitations and the day of the party.
This was a great amount of people all to be brought down to one meeting place and to have food provided and to have blessings and entertainment. This was not an easy task. So when the host gave his invitations out, it was under the general understanding that there was no specific time, but when the time came, the people who accepted the invitation would come. Before we get into our second point, I really want to bring this home for a minute. I believe that God is preparing a time to where He calls His church in to have a blessed reunion, to have this time of fellowship where the Spirit of God descends upon its people and the requests are made known. And I don't want us to fall into the same failures as the people we're about to mention. I believe the invitation has been open and the preparation is happening at this very moment. And that one day, here soon, hopefully in the middle of next month, when the church doors open back up, I believe without a doubt God is going to give a special blessing to those who are present and accounted for. When He opens His treasury, if you will, of blessings, and He gives it out to those people, it will be to those who come for this invitation. Hear me out. Do not make the mistake of the people we're about to study and the ones who give excuses. As we get into the same point, read the text with me. We're going to start in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "But they all with one mind began to make excuses. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of land, and I must go and see it. I ask you to excuse me. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am going to prove them, and I ask you to excuse me. And the last one says this, still another one said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." Now, two things I want to mention before we get into the details of the excuses that were made. The first one I want to talk about is this only mentioning of 3. This was not the only ones who made excuses, but a lot of people made excuses. We find evidence of this in the context of the verse. If you look a little further in our text, you'll see that he had to go out and get the blind, the halt, the maimed, the poor. And then that wasn't enough. They had to go out and get those in the highways and the hedges as well. It wasn't just 3 individuals who made excuses. Matter of fact, the context leads us to believe that everybody that he invited prior made an excuse. That there was something that they put in front of themselves, or they put in front of priority of going to the banquet. The second part I want to bring up in general text inside of these 3 verses is that none of them were legitimate. Especially in the context of today's culture and the biblical culture, none of these fit the reason why they could not go to the banquet or could not bring others to the banquet as well. Let's look into them more specifically and let's take the first one. Verse 18, it gives us the understanding that this individual bought a whole bunch of land. Now, this is a lot to do with context and culture as well. The land that he bought would have been within the tribe of Israel. Now, he could have bought it within his own tribe and would have traded that land, but also would have to give it back to its owner. Same with other tribes. If he bought it from another tribe, it would only last it for a little bit day because the land that was given to those tribes were given by God. And it was their culture that they wouldn't buy that land away from them, but they would buy it for a season. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was 7 years. And within 7 years, they did what they wanted with the land, and then they gave it back to the owners. They rented the land. But it was all the land that was on the land, everything that was on the land, everything that was in the land was the owners during that sale. One of the, how this excuse plays in today is that this individual would not let go of the daily grind. He would not let go of the things that he typically would have done during the week to have this day of going before this host, or in our case, going before God and enjoying the blessings of this time. This individual could have done this any amount of ways, but also I want us to understand that he knew exactly what he was buying when he bought the land. If it was within the tribe, he would have even more so known who it was and what they did with the land and how they did it. He didn't have to prove anything about the land. He didn't have to go look at it. And even if it was outside of the tribe, He had walked through that place. He'd have known it before he bought it. It's not like they had Zillow or they didn't have anything that they could look online and know about it. He had to literally see the land and to know it was for sale or to know that it could be bought so that he had the chance to do it. He had to have been there. He had to have known. He had to have already done this. We like to make excuses a lot in our lives, and most of the time, it's only because it makes us feel uncomfortable. This individual did not want to go, and so he made up the excuse that he was too busy, that he was working, that he only had one day off, that he could only do it on this particular day, and there was no moving his schedule around to accommodate this gathering. I don't want us to fall into this trap when God has given us this great invitation to be a part of His blessing, and we allow the daily grind, we allow the work and the things we place upon ourselves to get in front of our worship for God. If you stayed on to this video for this long, I want to say thank you. You're already making that commitment to stay in Scripture and to worship and to understand and to learn. But this is something we have to teach ourselves, is that the daily grind can get in front of us. And it's not uncommon for people to allow those things to become something that's more important than our relationship with God. And I encourage you not to do that. In verse 19, we see the second excuse that is made, and it's to the individual who bought 5 yoke of oxen. That's 10, and that's 2 oxen that are yoked together. So when it says 5 yokes, it means 10 oxen. Now, there is no way possible for an individual to operate 10 oxen at one time. He had to have servants and workers to fulfill the need of that kind of a purchase. The reason here that this man put something prior to his relationship, to this commitment of coming into this fellowship, was that he wasn't willing to delegate all the busyness thing, all the business side of his life to those who needed it. He took on way too much responsibility for himself, and he allowed his work to become his God. You see, this individual had people, had family, had workers, had servants who could have easily taken care of the 5 yoke of oxen, but he refused to let anybody do it. He had to do it himself. This may have been a ploy. He may have just been something that he did just to get out of going to this party, but it also could be something that he had a legitimate reason. He thought that the business would fail, like the farmings would fail if he was not in it. This is a personal one to me, and I think applies the most to me. I feel there's a lot in this world that would fail if I didn't do it. Regardless if it's ministry or home or something that I'm doing with somebody else, helping somebody accomplish it. I think to myself, well, if I didn't do it, who would? Well, that is a terrible way to minister, and that's a terrible way to live, because we, people who have that kind of mindset, fall back on the idea that God is not in control. This individual who wasn't willing to delegate all the authorities, wasn't willing to focus on the things that were eternal, but rather he only focused on the things that he could do. I don't want us to ever fall on the fact that we work too much. We do live in a busy society. Here in America, we're go, 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 1,000 miles an hour, and there's nothing we can do to stop. But we have to take time. We've got to breathe. We have to have a day of rest. If Jesus took time to be by himself and to pray, we must be more prone to do those things. We are not perfect. And Jesus was, and he still needed that time to spend with God. And I encourage you, don't let the busyness of your life affect you on Sundays and affect your watching and learning and reading about God's word. Don't let it affect your prayer time. These things you can never have too much of. What the Bible teaches us is righteous teachings and godly teachings we have to adhere to, and we have to want and desire to have them have a place in our lives, and I encourage you to do so. In this last point, I want us to see something I believe that is probably one of the hardest things for our culture today to recognize. This individual was newly married. He married his wife, and he asked to be excused for the solemn fact that he was now married. it didn't change the invitation. In the Jewish culture, when a man and a woman got married, they became one. Whatever invitation was given to the man was now given to the both of them. And not only to the both of them, but as we recognize that the host was not hurting in rooms and seats and the ability to host a lot of people, he could have bought the entire wedding outfit, the entire wedding ceremony, and had a present, but the man refused to bring those that he loved. I don't want us to fall into this trap either. The devil likes to tell us that, well, they don't like what I like. And my family doesn't worship the same way that I worship. The Bible tells us that we should teach them in the ways that they should go. And as a man who is just recently married, even more so how he should have had the character enough to say, I want to bring you to this man and to give you what I cannot. This is our responsibility as Christians, to bring our children and to bring our families, to bring our neighbors, to bring those that we love to a place of blessing that we couldn't provide by ourselves. No greater blessing comes from being in the presence of God. Nothing this world can give us can ever compare to what it is that God gives us on a weekly basis, on a daily basis in devotion and in prayer. Don't ever back out and be scared to tell your family about Jesus, to tell your family about church, to worship with them. By allowing your family to come to church with you, you give them a piece of your worship and they give them an understanding about what God means to you. Don't ever let them live in a way that they don't know who God is to you, who Christ is to you. As we conclude, I want us to recognize something about these three excuses is that none of them were legitimate. And those weren't the only three. All of his guests gave excuse after excuse after excuse. And none of them, even the most understandable excuses, were ever legitimate enough to decline the master's blessing. Don't make the same mistakes as them. God has given you an opportunity to accept his invitation into his family. And I'm giving you this invitation to accept you into our family here at First Free Will. We love people. And if you're watching this video, we love you. If you hear about this video, we love you. And we want you to be a part of who we are. But I encourage you, do not make the excuses when it comes to praying. Do not make excuses when it comes to reading scripture. Don't make excuses when it comes Sunday or Wednesday and on fellowship days. Don't make the excuses that a lot of people make, because what we do here is just as important, if not more important, than anything we could put in its place. We spend time with God, and that is something that can never or should never be traded. As we get into our last point, I want us to see the just and sovereign reaction of the host. I believe that a lot of people don't realize that God has emotions. I've come to see how when people talk about how God is perfect, they act like he doesn't understand their hurt, that he doesn't understand their pain, that he doesn't understand temptation. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, is that God knows. He was tempted in all manners of sin, as we are, yet he was without sin. He's felt every pain that we could possibly feel. And we see in this text, we see God's emotion. We see that Christophany here. We see the Lord of all, the Almighty, show his frustration and anger when people refuse. Look with me. We're going to start in verse 21. 21 says this, and the servant came and reported this to his master. And the master of the house, in anger, said to his servants, go out quickly unto the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. And the servant said, Master, what you commanded has been done, but yet there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out of the highways and the hedges, and compelled them to come in, so that my house may be filled. And there's so much to unpack in these verses. But I want us to see something, is that God does feel aggravated at times, and He does feel emotions. He does know what it means to be hurt. He does know what it means to be rejected. Speaking on the emotional side, stepping back from the master and looking at the people that get brought in, I want to see, especially where we stand, and in conjunction with this text. Look back at verse 21 and 22 with me. He mentions the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. And then in verse 23, he says, and compel those from the highways and the hedges to come in. We have all of these people that who were brought in last minute, who had no intentions. Could you imagine how scary it must have been for the blind man to be shouted down by a servant and to say, listen, my master's having a banquet and he has compelled us to bring you in. And as they're taking the blind man into a new house and sitting him at a new table and feeding him food that he does not see, and to people that he does not know, how scary and how awkward that must have been. But I want you to see the blessings that came to him because he was brought in by those who compelled him. We see the maimed and the lame and the blind. We see the impoverished in the highways and hedges. We see the bystanders. We see the people who are just walking by. And we see the people who are of the utmost rejected. I, when it says hedges, I imagine they're digging in bushes for the people who have placed themselves away from society, and they're compelling them to bring them in. We see so much of God's people here. There's something I want us to state here, and it's something that I've made known through these videos and these sermons since this COVID-19 separation. And that is, everyone at the table of God knows they're unworthy at this point. Nobody is worthy of His blessing. And nobody is worthy of that grace and those wonders that were bestowed upon those people. You and I are really equals. I may be behind a camera and on YouTube right now and on Facebook Live and all these things, but the truth of the matter is I'm just as much a sinner as you are. We're equals. We're both none worthy to be sitting at the blessing table of God. And accepting all of these people, all the maimed, the lame, the blind, those that were in the highways and the hedges, we see God's grace. We see His mercy. We see Him compelling the world to come in, not giving them any excuses why they should not be a part of the family. And He brings them in, and He feeds them, and He blesses them. But right there in the midst of that time, right before the celebration comes, He makes a very convicting statement. We look at verse 24, and He says, for I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I believe in reading all of Scripture, and I believe in accepting all of Scripture. We have so much to learn from it, and I don't believe that we have the right to pick apart only the good or the bad. And I believe we learn much more when we accept the good and the bad, the chastening as well as the blessing. And God's words here are very harsh, but it's something I think that we need to listen to and to understand. He says that there is a threshold. There is a stopping point to where His grace and His love ends. He recognized that no matter how much He gave an opportunity for these people to come in, they would not come. They gave excuse after excuse after excuse, and they would not come. And He makes this statement. He says, those people who I've invited, who I've opened my house to, who I've prepared this great feast for, He says, I will not let them taste of my supper. What a convicting statement. He says, those people I once gave my life for, that I gave everything for, I set up this moment, I set up this festivity time for them, and they refused me. How frustrating that must have been. We see something here that I don't want us to just overpass and overlook. At these moments, God is preparing a great work, and He's sending out invitations to come into His house when the doors are open to be there and to worship and to have peace and grace and love and blessing placed upon thy life, placed upon your life, for all the things that God wants to do. But He's not going to bless if you do not accept, if you do not follow in His path, if you do not accept His Son, if you do not accept His invitation to come and be a part of the family. There is very little that can benefit you at that point, if none at all. We see something here is that there is a stopping point to His invitations. The Bible tells us there's a very interesting study on having a hard heart. And we can continue to tell God no, 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 till we even refuse to hear Him speak anymore. I want to give you that invitation to accept His Son one more time. To give you an invitation to our church. To give you an invitation to read your Bibles more. An invitation to pray more. An invitation to know Him better. And to never give up fighting. To have your relationship with God closer. To saying no to all the overworkloads. To say no to personal bias. To say no to busyness, and to take a day and to take time to spend with God, because that is the most important thing you will ever do. It's more important than riches. It's more important than family. It's more important than anything else that you show your family, that you show your employees and your employers that you have a relationship with God that's worth protecting. And the blessings on your life will become the blessings on those that you love. That it'll be more and more and more of a blessing. The more that you follow after Him and the more that you give in to Him, the more you will receive. I want to encourage you to accept that invitation. As we come to a close, I want to give one more invitation. I want you to come and be a part of our church family. Like and share this video. Get it out as fast as possible and as far as possible. And the people who can make it, please come and join us. Join us on Sunday. Join us on Wednesday here in Morehead City. We would love to have you. And more importantly, we want you to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. We want you to know who He is and to have that relationship with Him and to have the blessing and the banquet of His presence. Don't give up. Don't stop fighting for that seat at the table. You know, when the people all across this nation are compelling people to come in, when every preacher and evangelist are preaching the gospel and inviting people to know who He is and to bring them into God's family, I want you to accept. Even if you've been saved for 20-something years, 40-something, 60-something years, I want you to take a minute to recognize how humble it is to sit at the table of blessing. How we are unworthy of His grace and unworthy of His love, and yet He continues to bless us. It's a wonderful feeling. I want that blessing to stay with you. That humility of knowing that God wants you in His family, even though you're imperfect, just like the rest of us that are dining at this table. He wants you, and He wants us. So take that today and help it to be a blessing with your life. My name is James Bradley, and I want to say thank you again for joining us in our digital service. It has been a pleasure to preach to you, and I hope that you have a great week. Come back and see us next week. God bless.